Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Up next on the podcast, we have one of my really good friends. So I'm super excited and just honored that I have really awesome friends. So she's known as Action Jacqueline on Instagram. If you want to go look her up now, she's got an incredible educational page. Her name is Jacqueline Umoff, and she's an international yoga and fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and she empowers women to cultivate their power from within with movement and nutrition. She's the founder of two online programs. She has a Stretchy Fit app, a yoga fitness bar membership, and a community for women. And she also has a program called Heal My Gut, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end, which is a 6-week weight loss and deep loading program that she coaches. She's a former ballerina, NBA Laker girl, ballroom dancer, and celebrity fitness trainer. With a social media audience reaching over more than 1 million women across various platforms, and she's been featured in Shape Magazine, BuzzFeed, PopSugar, and so much more. Jacqueline truly just continues to learn and has so much knowledge and wisdom. So I'm really excited to learn not only what she does now, but from her past experiences and what's led her into the path that she's on. So let's dive in. Thank you, Jacqueline, for being here on the podcast. One of my besties, OG Instagram friend. That's how we met. I slid into your DMs.
Our friendship, yeah, moved past Instagram, thankfully.
Yes, luckily. Like, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, man. We were like little Instagram newbies in New York, in Manhattan, New York, randomly.
Yeah.
Both happened to be there. And remember, my friend was like going through a really hard time, and I flew all the way out there to hang out, and she's like, I'm just going to stay in. I was like, what? And then you're like, oh, you're in New York, let's hang out. And I was like, well, this girl who I don't know, but she seems fun, wants to hang out, so I'm going to go hang out with her. She's like, fine, I don't care. And that's when we became friends.
And then we played on the streets and did monkey bars. And
yeah, we did. Handstands in the museums.
Yeah.
All the
things. And then it was like instant besties.
Yeah. Yeah. We got kicked out of that museum. So
it's a good way to do New York.
I know. Handstands, upside down, crazy positions. I mean, that was what our Instagram was now. Now your Instagram is fully educational.
Yeah.
Want to tell people what you do really on there?
Yeah. I mean, I love helping women get into their bodies, and men too. I get DMs being like, hey, I'm not a girl, but you know, I find a lot of value from your page. I'm like, that's okay. You can be on my page. But yeah, I help women really understand their bodies and move, and because movement has been such a gift in my life. And I'm so grateful that I started and it became really like a habit and a way of life for me at such a young age. And I know it can be really difficult for a lot of women to maybe get into the routine of movement or understand even where to start. And so I love just giving women ideas, especially now being home, of like how to stretch their bodies, how to strengthen their bodies, how to, understand the movement and really just get them inspired to move and to remember why it's important to move. And for me, it's like, you know, it started very physical, and now my journey has become something just much more than physical, like definitely very physical, but also mental for me as well, as since I struggled with anxiety and things like that. So movement was like such a blessing in so many different ways for me.
You bring up that why, and I know that you talk about growing into your own kind of movement story. And I know dance was huge for you, right? You dance professionally, you dance for the Lakers. And that was a big part of your life. Like, when did that become a passion, and why dance specifically? Did you do other things when you were younger too?
Yeah, I did ballet. I did, mainly it was ballet. I tried to do gymnastics, and my mom saw one of the, I was really like fearless and saw one of the, my, I don't know, I was going on the vault and I like slipped and almost like hurt my neck. And my mom was like, this is too dangerous. We're putting you in something where you don't fly around. And she's like, ballet, you know? But then I started to fall in love with ballet because I just loved, at first I like hated it. I think a lot of girls do, because it can be kind of boring, you know, and very like, very methodical, but I actually really loved how methodical it was and like how I just felt really connected to my body. And now having gone through this whole journey of, you know, where I started to get these like anxiety attacks and panic attacks, like in my late 20s, I realize it's because I'm someone who's like really in my head. Like I'll get, you know, my thoughts just kind of go on these crazy loops and journeys, and it's just like, you know, it's like I get stuck in my head, and anytime I move my body, it's like, it's just like clear. It is fully like a meditation, how they say, you know, you want to meditate to try to clear your mind. And for me, sitting down and meditating almost made it worse, you know, because it was like my thoughts on like a megaphone. And that's why, like, I never understood meditation in that respect. And so, like, I do meditation in a completely different way now. But I realized that I think for me, it was just a time where my head was just completely clear and I was so down in my body. And it was like nothing was could touch me at that time. And so anytime I was moving, it was just like, it was just complete peace. And so for me, even still to this day, it's like, especially right now, it's what's going on with the world. It's like, when I'm moving and I get my workout in, it's like a time for my brain to completely reset. I shift into like one energy to another. I might go into a workout feeling just like whatever feeling I'm, you know, sad or depressed or whatever it is, anxious or stressed. And then it's like I come out on the other side just like a clean slate. And I'm just like, oh, you know, I just completely renew myself. And so I think when I started to really understand that aspect of working out, whereas, you know, being a ballerina, it was so focused on like, how can I get my kicks higher? How can I get skinnier? How can I like be the best, you know? And then it just like really transformed into this, like it, just this daily practice of mine of being able to reset my mind. And it's just, I changed the intention behind it. And it's just, it's just much more enjoyable now in that respect.
And how long has that journey been for you from the moment that you started having anxiety and needing to look a certain way and perform a certain way and all of that to where you are now within your body?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I started dancing professionally at such a young age. I think at like 16, I was dancing on stages, like big stages, you know. I had done Nutcrackers forever, you know, like 8 years in a row. And then when I got to college, I was on the song team there at USC. And that was like a very highly coveted dance position. And so I kind of was on this run. And then after that, I became a Clipper girl. And then after that, I became a Laker girl. So it was like this, what was that, like 10 years or something, from like 16 or even longer to like 28, 29. And then when all of that stopped and I stopped doing Lakers and I was like, okay, it's time for me to like move on. I just want to have a career. Cause it was always like, you never knew if you're going to get back on the team the next year. And it's always like this idea, it's a finite amount of time and you're not really like building a career. And I was like so entrepreneurial. Like I had even a t-shirt line at the time where I was even doing like NBA t-shirts that were at the Staples Center too. So I was like always kind of hustling. But then when that ended, I was like, okay, I want to like move on and do something with my life. And then I just like, I got like so depressed and I was like I remember literally thinking like life was boring. I was like, I can't believe people are just excited to go to the movies on a Friday night. Like, cause I was on this high. I was like, you know, in a game and another game and another game. And then like, everything I was a part of, we were like winning too. Like USC, we were winning. Clippers, we were winning. Went to the All-Star game and the Lakers. It's just like this constant high, like all the time, moving game after game appearance, you know, like, and then it was just like, it was like all done. And I had like, I was training. I had personal clients as far as like physical, personal training and bar and everything else. And then I was like, this is so boring. This can't be just like life now. Like it was a really like huge drop for me. And that's like when I just started to just feel like anxious and it just felt like, you know, life was just kind of like out of control. I didn't know what I was doing. And that's when I would have these, I started to kind of get these panic attacks like while I was still on the team. And I think it's just because I was just so in my head and I didn't know how to control my thoughts. I didn't know how to like really like integrate myself all together, and I don't like feeling out of control, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. And I think having that job specifically, always I was never in control, because it was like we were kind of always threatened to get fired, like like every day. Like it was like definitely, and girls would get fired all the time, and so you kind of like see your dreams kind of like just passing you by like really fast. And and so that's when I started to really get into understanding my brain and my thoughts. And I'm like, what is happening? Because I went on medication for a little bit, but I was like, I don't want to be someone who's on medication. Like, that's just not me. I was such a go-getter. And I'm like, there's no way that this is like me now, like on medication, having to like, you know, cope with my whatever's going on in my mind. And I was like, I got to figure this out. I have to figure out what's going on with my brain and why I literally feel like anxious and couldn't even like hold a conversation with someone, because I'd like start to get into my head and like anxiety would build. It was like really bad. And so I started to seek out that, like, you know, the answers and everything. And one of the most like life-changing books I ever read was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And it explained anxiety. Like no one like explained it to me. And I'm like, how come no one explains this to you, you know? And he explains it in such a logical way that says like, you're having anxiety because you're thinking of the future, or you're thinking of the past, or you're thinking of something that you can't control. And when you're in the present moment, it is impossible to feel anxious. And I was like, okay, that's so simple. Okay, that's so simple.
Yeah.
You know, it just like broke it down, because for me, it was this mystery. It was this mystery feeling, and I don't know where it was coming from. I didn't know why I was having it. I didn't know where it came from. And I'm like, I come from a good family and my parents love me. Like, why should I feel like this? You know, because you hear about these people like, oh, well, they got kicked out to the street, or they were like abused. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on with myself. And that's scary within itself. And so when I started to actually understand what it was, I'm like, oh, okay. So now he's like, so listen to your thoughts, listen to your thoughts. So then I started to listen to my thoughts, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know I was having a thought like this that I was thinking about. I was thinking so much of the future, like, what am I going to do? Or I don't know what I'm going to do, you know? So it was like this constant loop. And I just started to listen to my thoughts and just kind of like grab hold of them. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, and started to journal my thoughts and started to like become aware of them. And that's why they say, like, become the observer of your thoughts and become detached from them. And then the whole process of like, well, how do I detach from my thoughts? My thoughts are me. And it's like, no, your thoughts are not you. They are just thoughts. You know, you are you. And so I started to just go on that whole journey, and it just, I was able to just be free, like, of that kind of, you feel completely trapped with those kinds of emotions. And so I learned how to control my thoughts. I learned how to like not be a victim to my circumstances. That was a big thing too. And then that's where like movement to me became this really beautiful practice of like really just like looking within and able to stop my thoughts and be in my body, because when I'm moving or I'm completely present, then anxiety cannot exist. Like a positive and negative feeling cannot exist at the same time. It's like it's absolutely impossible for us to feel those two things at the same time. So just by simply just rattling off like things I'm grateful for, it just like would shift myself into being grateful, and like the anxiety would kind of go away for a little bit, you know, and then it would come back. But then I'm like, oh, okay. But that's like a glimmer of hope. Okay. So it did go away even just while I was like thinking about things I'm grateful for. So those little practices are just huge. And so I still do that, you know, and I just catch my thoughts when they go off. So.
And what does it mean really to be like a victim to your thoughts? Like, how does someone know if they're in that place?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if you are thinking about things that you can't control, like in the future, or you know, you're comparing yourself to somebody else, or you're thinking of something in the past, like you would have, could have, would have, should have done. And so that's another thing that, is it Eckhart Tolle, or I forget who said it, but he said like, you know, if you're truly present, there is nothing to ever fear or be anxious about. And because in anything, even when your people are sick and on their deathbed, at some point you find peace in just that moment right there. You're like, well, I'm alive right now. And you just, you find peace in that very exact moment. And so I always think about that. I've just learned to accept the things that I can accept, and then you change the things you can. And so that's where, that was another thing that I learned too, was like, if you don't like the room that you're in, right? So if you want to learn how to not be a victim, then if you find yourself complaining about it, and then keep complaining about it, then just change rooms. If you don't like the wallpaper in that room, okay, go to a different room. You know, you have the possibility and the strength to move to a different room. And so that's why I really believe in empowering people to know that they have these choices for themselves, to make a different choice for themselves every day.
I think you went over so many powerful things kind of in that overview you gave us of kind of your dance history and how it made you think so many different ways and do the behavior of dance with maybe some different goals in mind of like looking a certain way or performing a certain way. Because you also said like, that's what you saw was succeeding. To not get fired, I needed to perform a certain way. To not get fired, I needed to look a certain way. So we kind of have that feedback loop. And also, you're just always running on this high. What you said reminds me of like people who are Olympians or world champions. Like they win the world championship and then they're like depressed afterwards because they're just like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So how do you, if people are out there like, I need to work on that mindset reframe, how did you start to work on that mindset reframe of doing things for a different purpose rather than doing it because you needed to look a certain way or perform a certain way? In dance and doing it for your joy and to be able to be more connected with your thoughts and your body.
Yeah, I think it went into yoga. Like I started, at first I didn't like yoga because I thought it was really boring. And I'd go there and I was like already super flexible from dance. And I'm like, I don't need to stretch. And I don't understand this meditation thing. It's really boring. And I would be like jetting out once they went into Shavasana. And I remember one of the teachers one time was like, you know, those of you who are leaving early and not staying for Shavasana are probably the ones that need it the most. And I was like, she does not know me or my life or anything. Like, how does she know? But she was absolutely right, you know, because I definitely needed it. And because I was like so on the go and I was like, I couldn't pause a second, you know. And then another time was actually when I was in another yoga class, like this one teacher started talking about anxiety and she was like talking about it. And then at one point she said, you know, anxiety is a choice. You can either choose to have the anxiety or choose to not have it. And like, to me, that was the most empowering thing. Cause I was also listening to The Power of Now. I remember at the same time, and it was kind of all coming together. And I think like what you seek is what you find, you know. I was like really looking for answers and she said that and I was like, oh wow. Like, yeah, that's a great, like, yeah, it's a choice. Okay. It's a choice. Right. Cause before it just was like this thing that would come over me and I was like victim to it, but I'm like, okay, I want to be reminded that it's a choice. So now I can't remember like what your original question was. I'm like, am I answering it?
No, you are. I think that you're doing an amazing job with, you know, kind of underlying where you got the anxiety from and then how you started to really, how people can really start to observe it. Like, where is this actually coming from? And how do I find that empowerment to actually start to move forward?
Yeah, it's a daily practice of listening to your thoughts. And that's why I don't think that just sitting quietly meditating is the answer for everybody. For someone like me, and I've read and I've studied a lot more, it actually can reinforce the looping thoughts that you're having. And so unless you're doing, like, I highly recommend doing a guided meditation for someone who's like that, because again, it just helps your thoughts get guided to a more positive place. And so just watching, like, it's the moment to moment, like moments of like, what are you saying to yourself at that moment? You know, like what are those thoughts? Or sometimes they go by us like so fast and you're like, whoa, like, I just said that. Like, I just heard myself say like, ugh, I look so ugly right now. You know, and like, you just, you catch yourself. Like, you just have to, it's a daily practice of being aware. And then, and sometimes, you know, our bodies are always looking for homeostasis, and our thoughts become part of us as far as like homeostasis. So these types of thoughts are so familiar to us. And so to even change these thoughts can feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And so it's just the law of repetition, you know, you've got to just, if you want to think a different way, then think a different way. If you want to think something else, if you want to believe in something else, then just believe in something else. A belief is just a thought on repeat. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And so you just keep thinking it and keep thinking it. Like, I remember there was a point where I would just like, I remember I thought, I'm like, I just need to brainwash myself in a way that, in a positive way. Like, it's okay, that's so easy. Okay. So my brain is like a computer, and I want to program it to think, you know, more confidently, or like think abundantly. So like, I would look and search on YouTube for guided meditations, and I would listen to it every day. Like, that's all I would do. And I'm like, I just got to brainwash myself. I'm like, just brainwash myself for like the benefit of my life. Like, that makes sense. You know,
there's all these, yeah, there's all these conversations about just the internet and TVs and screens and how it is like brainwashing us, right?
Oh, it's 100%. So I don't watch TV.
Happening anyway. Why don't we use these screens now and all these processes to brainwash ourselves positively?
Mm,
and
yeah.
So many people, I like your computer analogy, because they'll be like, oh, I've tried journaling. Or, yeah. Oh, I've tried positive affirmations.
I've tried
that
meditation.
That doesn't work for me. Or yeah, I tried meditation. Meditation doesn't work for me. But like, when you think about it like a computer, there's a million different programs that you can, positive programs you can type into it. And there's a hundred different ones that are different types of meditating or different types of journaling or different types of whatever. So there's so many different options that we can't just say, oh, I've tried that already. I'm done. I'm never trying it again.
Yeah. I would ask, like, how long did you try it for? Did you try it like 2 times and then gave up, you know, because like, it takes time. And then for some people, it actually, they might feel the effects like right away. And other people, it actually could take a little longer, like a month, like then later you start to feel a difference. And so I would say, if anyone's, you know, going on a meditation journey and they find a guided meditation that they like on YouTube, or that's why I started doing them in my app. It's just listen to it, like say, okay, I'm going to listen to it every day for 30 days. And then I'll like make another assessment after that, because it takes time for it to seep into your brain. It's like the law of repetition. Your brain needs to hear it over and over and over again before it actually like can seep through into your subconscious mind. Cause you might be listening to it one time and you might actually be like in a completely different headspace, and it might not even like permeate into your subconscious mind. And so you need to like give it a chance to also become familiar with it too. So, well,
and the belief of going into it, like, what is your, like, are you already believing that this isn't going to work?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think the power of choice is so extremely powerful. Now, I do want to talk into as well, like, you being a dancer, you obviously had expectations you've kind of touched on within your body, and body image is something that is so huge, especially for women. So, and the anxiety around that, and the reason that we move, because I have to look a certain way, and the reason, you know, and so how did you start to go on your body journey, and where were you? Where did you have eating disorders and stuff in dance?
I mean, at the time I didn't know I had it, and I don't like to like put like a full on label over it, but I mean, yeah, I would definitely restrict my calories by a lot. So, and it was like, but I was just such a go-getter that I'm like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be the best. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like you said, like the girls who were getting picked for the solo roles were the skinniest, and so I'm like, okay, noted, okay, I gotta be skinny, okay, cool, all right. And then they would make comments like, you know, if the smaller you are, the easier it is for you to be lifted, and the higher your leg goes. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, all right, cool, you know. I mean, I was like 15, so I was like, all right, gotta get skinny. And so, you know, I would try to like not eat at home, and my mom is, you know, a Latin Mexican, and she's like trying to overfeed me, and I'm like, mom, like, you need to stop feeding me, you know. She's like, I, you know, obviously she didn't agree with any of that. So I was like, Yeah, I would really restrict my calories and wanted to look a certain way. And then I think like when I got out of the ballet world, you know, and I went to college, like I was telling you guys earlier, you know, and then I started to be in the college world and I started drinking with the at college. I was at USC. So it's like I naturally just put on some weight, and it was kind of hard for me at first, but it was like, it was like, okay, well, all the other bodies around me aren't like rail thin. So I felt like, okay, I could like gain a little bit of weight and I was like still fine. And then it just was kind of like this whole journey. And then, you know, then I got onto the NBA and then I was like, oh, I got to lose it again. Cause it's like, you know, these girls are very thin. In order to get on the team, you have to look a certain way. So it's kind of like, I always knew what I was getting myself into, cause people would make comments and be like, is that so horrible that they would do that? And I'm like, well, I mean, I get this is the job that it is. Like, your job is to be a body that looks a certain way, moves a certain way. Like, I never felt like a victim to it. I just was like, this is what I got to do in order to succeed, you know? And so I did it. And then I think now, like, as I've gotten out of that whole world, it's like, yeah, I mean, of course I still want to look a certain way, you know? And I'll always admit that. And I think it's completely healthy to have physical goals, to want to, like, you know, strengthen your muscles and things like that. And coupling that with having a deeper meaning for yourself of not hanging your hat on looking a certain way. And that's something that I've had to work on, is like, my value doesn't just come from my body, but my value comes from who I am. And that is something that I've really had to work on, because I was like, if I would gain a couple pounds, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, you're like, I'd like freak out, or I'd like, my self-esteem would be lower that day. I could like literally feel it, yeah, like a difference in my emotions and the way I felt about myself and like getting dressed. And I'm like, okay. And so I again, like, it just, I was in the practice of like watching my thoughts, and I would hear myself and I'm like, this is like, I know better. Like, I think we all always know better too for ourselves, and we always have untapped resources within us. And like, I'm like, okay, you know, I and then I was like, I need to work on this. I need to work on building my confidence of the way of who I am, regardless of what my body looks like. And because I remember there was like a while where, you know, the thought of like getting older scared me. The thought of like having a baby and like having my whole body changed really scared me. And I was like, oh, I don't want any of that, you know, because I was like, my value was so based on my body and what it could do and what it would look like. But now, like, it's just, it's completely shifted where I've just have learned to just enjoy myself and enjoy the movement for what it is, and know that like my value is not just in my body, you know, and to really like work on that part of myself of just, like building up my confidence and just always reminding myself of all the different reasons why, you know, like I'm creative and I'm mindful and I'm thoughtful and I'm loving. And it's like literally like just reminding myself of all of these qualities that I have that doesn't have to do with just the way I look.
Yeah, I think that especially when we're in the thick of it, and like you said, it's so tied to our identity within dance or being a part of a dance team. You know, I talk about being a part of like football culture and playing college athletics as when I understand what I thought about movement and what it meant to be a good mover. I'm like, oh, it means to lift a lot of weights and like be the one who's benching the most and squatting the most. And, or what it meant to look a certain way is so tied into that identity that when that again starts to get stripped away, that's where the anxieties comes in, because it's like, did we feel good because we actually had that, or is it us running off these superficial highs? And then people will ask like, okay, well, is it okay to then say, I want to look a certain way? And it's always that yes and answer, because it's like, okay, well, if we also just act a certain way and fuel our body a certain way and move to feel good, will likely achieve that body that we're desiring as well. Yeah. So like you said, if it's not the whole driver, but it can be a result of treating and fueling our body a certain way and moving with a certain purpose, that then results in us also feeling amazing about how we look and probably looking, quote, better as well.
Yeah, because I don't think that it's bad to have physical goals. I mean, I think it's
but it doesn't have to be tied into your worth. I mean, you can have a goal that's not tied into who you are as a human.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, you can have, we all want to, it makes sense, right? This is how we present ourselves in the world. You meet someone and the first thing they see is your face, hair, body. Like, you know, for us, to me, it's like, yeah, you want to, you know, you want to look a certain way. You want to do your hair in a certain way. You want to do your makeup. You want to do your nails. Like, it's all kind of like that same thing. And I think it can be a very motivating factor for some people. Like, I come from the other extreme, but for someone who maybe doesn't have doesn't have a lot of motivation, maybe that is like going to be a lot of motivation for them, and in a healthy way, you know? So I would never tell anyone that it's like ever bad to have any sort of physical goal for themselves. And I would also say, you know, what do you think that you are going to achieve from that when you get there at that goal? And then if they're like, oh, I'm going to be confident, I'd be more this or more that, you know, because I work with clients like in my Heal My Gut program, and that's always like the biggest thing we talk about. We talk about, why do you want this goal? Why do you want to lose weight? Why do you want to de-bloat? Why? And, you know, it's always confidence. I want to feel better. And I think that's amazing. And then I always remind them about my journey, but like, you can actually begin feeling confident like right now in this moment. Like, yes. You can think of a moment where you did feel confident, because everybody has a time in their life where they felt confident, and you can call upon that moment and literally just bring the feeling back into your body and remember what it feels like to feel confident and to bring those positive feelings into yourself. And that's, for me, an amazing way to like not tie your value to like the outcome, right? Because it's like, well, what if you don't get all the way to your goal, you know? And but most likely, if you start from a place of like already appreciating your body and like remembering who you are and your value and everything, and you're going to get to that goal actually like so much easier, much more effortlessly. And but I thought that was actually really interesting when I started doing my enrollment calls for my program, for the Heal My Gut program. And some women were like ashamed to tell me that they wanted to lose weight. And I was like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to want that for yourself. You know, they're like, I just want to lose my baby weight, or I want to do this, or like, you know, be back where I was before. And I know I shouldn't say that, but like, I do want that. I'm like, don't ever say you shouldn't, you know, whenever you do, like, I would never tell anyone you shouldn't ever want something better for yourself or want something different or a change or, you know. So I thought that was really interesting. And I always like, I don't think your goals should ever feel like you're ashamed of them in any sort of way. And there's like a balance, I think, right now of like still just wanting to better yourself and not feeling ashamed of it. And so I always, yeah, I take women kind of through that journey of like helping them understand their feelings of like, why do I feel ashamed? And like, yeah, I do want this. Like, okay, yeah, great. Then go for it, you know? Yeah.
And can we touch into that? Like, because I know you've had a lot of gut issues. So what does healing the gut actually mean? And can you kind of spill a little bit of your journey of what you've gone through with the gut and what that's presented in your body?
Yeah. It's been like, like, oh my gosh. I'm like, where do I even begin?
It's a whole new podcast now.
I know. I'm like, maybe I have a lot of issues, you know? but yeah, so with my gut, it was just kind of like something I just started to accept. And I mean, I dealt with like constipation. I dealt with a lot of bloating, very painful bloating. I've dealt with, I mean, the main thing is like the constipation, because then like everything gets thrown off. And then I was taking like suppositories and like laxatives and fiber and all this stuff. And I had been dealing with that for like years. And I remember it started in high school, and it may have been because, I mean, who knows what it's from. Some people say, oh, it's from antibiotics that you took, because I had a heart murmur. And so I remember I would take like antibiotics, like anytime there was kind of like a sign of getting sick, you know? And so I don't know, you know, it's hard to really say. Or maybe it's just living in the Western world, or maybe when I went on like my super, you know, low calorie diets when I was in ballet. I don't know. It's hard to really pinpoint like why or where. But then also at the same time, I did start getting acne in high school as well. Like, I'd get really bad rosacea, to the point of when I would come to high school, I'd go to school, and I remember like this one kid was like, oh, did you just go skiing this weekend? I was like, no, why? And they're like, oh, because it looks like you have like a ski goggle burn on your face. And I remember I was like so embarrassed. Yeah. And that's when I remember I went home and I was like, Mom, I want to start wearing makeup, because I was like, I want to cover all this like redness up. And it was just, I don't know. And then I started rosacea, and then I got like just acne, and then I started to get cystic acne. And so I've done everything you can think of for acne. I did the Accutane, I did antibiotics, I did birth control, I did the topicals, I did like everything. And so it wasn't until like recently that I started to finally just understand that like everything is connected. And it sounds so like simple, but you go into doctor's offices and they don't tell you.
No, they treat the symptom.
They treat the symptom. And so I went to dermatologist after dermatologist, and I went to the best ones in Beverly Hills. And I went to like, you know, the ones that were like on The View. Like my mom would try to find like the best ones, be like, go to this person, go to this, you know. So I go everywhere and they're like, oh, you know, you should really get on Accutane. And or you should just do this cream, or I do the prescription cream. And like, and finally, and I used to go in and get cortisone shots all the time because of the cysts that were on my chin, and they were huge. And because I'd get cortisone shots, because if you don't know, the cysts will go get on your face and they'll stay for like months, like they just don't ever go away. And so what they do is they inject it with a little bit of steroid, and then it goes away in like 24 hours. And so I used to, I'm like, I had to do that because like with everything I was doing, I was always like in front of a camera or dancing or whatever. Like, and I remember like, I was like crying in this like dermatologist. I was like, please just like tell me like, what can I do? Like, tell me what to do. You know, I'm like, I'll do anything. And she just like put her hands up and she's like, I'm sorry. You're just like, you're someone that has acne. And unfortunately, you're going to have it probably until you hit menopause when your hormones change.
Wow.
I was like, what did you just say?
Yeah.
When I'm like 60? Like, yeah. What? Like, what? I was so like distraught and so upset. And I just like couldn't believe that that's like what she said to me. Like, just was like, I'm sorry. You know, I think you should just go on birth control. And I think you should just do the antibiotics. Like, you're just gonna have to keep treating it as it comes up. And I'm like, I can't live, because I'd get them on my back too, like really big giant cysts, and I had to get those removed. So I have some huge scars on there for that. And I was getting, you know, this is when I was like first doing Instagram. I was doing tons of photo shoots, and I went to a Carbon 38 photo shoot, and I had like a cyst, and they were just like, I don't, you know, is that going to go away anytime soon?
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
Like, it's just like, they're like, okay, I guess we could Photoshop. You're like, yeah, can we Photoshop? Do you think we could? And they had like a whole conversation about like Photoshop and photos. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like so embarrassing, you know? And so I had to figure out a way, and I started to like put the pieces together and started to like talk to a bunch of different people, and started to finally realize that like the gut and the skin and everything, I'm like, that makes sense, that it's all connected together, you know. And say, if you start to, you know, you might have leaky gut, or you might have this, or you might have whatever gut issues there I might have had, like that's definitely probably what's causing the acne, especially if you've tried all these other things. And so then I started to just really focus on the gut. And it's interesting because the gut, the study of the gut is still very new. There's a lot of very contradictory information out there. And, you know, you can find resources and studies that back up like every single statement. It's pretty crazy. And it's still like a very new study, and it's still very unknown, because all of a sudden they'll come out saying, oh, you know, you need to have like a balanced microbiota. You need to have like a diverse microbiota. And then other people will say, you absolutely don't need that at all. You don't need to have it be a diversified microbiota at all. That's not something that you need, or it's important. And then it's just, there's so many different conflicting things. And so I just have tried like every single way of eating. And I think for people listening out there, and I did the food allergy test, but I think if you do a food allergy test, then, you know, for someone like me, it was like everything was red. It was like, basically don't eat anything, because your gut is inflamed. And so it's anything that goes into it, it's going to react to it. So, you know, people say like, oh, well, I just did a food allergy test, so I just took this out, and so now I'm fine. I'm like, well, that's fine if you want to live like that, or you can like actually heal it and like remove things and heal it, and then you go, and then you're able to actually like reintroduce things. Like, I was able to then reintroduce dairy back into my diet, which I was like so happy about.
Yeah, you said you like cried the first time that you had dairy again. I think I would too if I cut that out. And then
yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy how I cried, and I'm like, what is happening to me? You know,
that's like, amazing though. Like just that's possible. How long did you go without dairy?
It was over 2 years. It was like two and a half years or something. And I was just, you know, making do with coconut.
Yeah.
Coconut milk and nut milks. And this is where I go all the way back to that initial when you started to get like the rosacea or whatever. Rather than running home and, I mean, not rather than this and saying, oh, I need to cover this up. You know, our first thing is like, how can I cover this up? And then when we go into the dermatologists and whatever, a lot of our solutions are creams or stuff that attack these end symptoms. But what if all the way back then someone was like, hey, let's explore with what you're eating right now and maybe something that's going on. Imagine how different that journey looks.
Or your stress and anxiety and like all of it tied together.
Well, yeah. And I'm the type of person who has like a visceral response to stress too. So that makes sense as well. Why my gut will be so like all over the place. Cause like as soon as I get anxious, it's like I can feel like acid in my stomach and I'm like, oh wow. You know? So it, like they say, like the subconscious mind is in your body. And so it's like you start to feel all these emotions.
Well, you tie that into like the belief that the second thing you said, which is something I absolutely hate. And I'll say that with a hard H on it, because when providers say stuff like, you're just somebody who has this
that's what you have to deal with,
especially when you can like clearly see it's something that's kind of traumatizing to a patient or a person or a human sitting in front of you. And you're like, yep, you just have to deal with this. Like, no, there's something physiologically that's causing this to present in my system.
Yeah.
And there are things that you as a doctor or a provider probably know that can address that underlying physiology. But we as providers in the Western system have been taught to not be able to think past our textbook or past the end of our nose or past the medications or things that we prescribe ourselves. Right. So it's just, what would you say to somebody? Like, where do I start? Where do I start to explore if they want to start diving more into what they're eating and how they know that affects their body?
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I come from a family of doctors too. And so it's like, whenever I share this story, I'm always like, I love doctors. Like my dad's a doctor. My sister's a doctor. Like they're, you know, my dad's an MD. My sister's a pediatric dentist. And I'm like, it's not that I have anything against them. I think what they do is amazing. And I think it's like, of course, you know, my dad was a surgeon. So he knows that. He knows how to like put you back together and everything. And so it's a matter of like being able to cross the path of these different types of, you know, alternative types of medicine. And I think, and it's funny because my mom was always very much more natural too. She would always opt for like not the medicine and stuff like that. And so they would always kind of like go head to head and stuff. But I think knowing that your body always has the resources to actually heal itself is huge, because I got to a point with my gut where I just thought, okay, it's broken, it's done, like this is just the way it is. I bloat after every meal. Remember like that one time we went out and you had like a whole thing of queso and then you went out and like danced on the stage, and I was like, I can't believe you ate like a whole bowl of queso and went out.
I did.
And danced
the Mexican in me, come on
the stage with like a crop top, and I was like, my stomach would be like so bloated. Remember you know, at the
probably not.
Yeah, and you like ate the whole thing
dancing. And probably
then,
not.
And then I was like, oh my god. I remember thinking, I was like, gosh, she's so lucky that she can like eat all that queso and like not blow and still dance and be comfortable. Because I was like, I can't have any of that cheese, otherwise like I will be done for the night. But excuse me, I don't know like where that came from, but I just always remember that.
But that was what you were focusing on, because that was the experience for you.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was thinking. It was like, I thought I was just like broken. Right. I was like, I just am done. Like there's no way that I can actually fix this. Cause I'm like, I've been to the top doctors. I've been to GIs. I even got where they went down my throat and got like a biopsy of my stomach to see if I had some sort of bug or something like that. And I did I did all of it. And I'm just like, I think the biggest thing for someone who's out there and struggling is just to remember that like your body is not broken, and the gut is something that's actually very malleable, and it can change like every single day depending on what you're eating and, like, you know, of course, like your thoughts and all that stuff too, but, and your environment and things like that, but it can change and it can be healed as far as we know. Like, we don't, I don't know, I've done so much research on it and it's still very unknown as far as, like, you know, what can actually be done in the gut. But we have to remember that it's such a thin lining, like the small intestine is such a very thin, like, cell membrane, and it can be like broken apart very easily. And so, it, you know, providing yourself with the right nutrients and just remembering that it can heal and it can, like, mend itself. Mm. And I think that's the biggest thing, because I was so, like, just thought, okay, this is just how my gut is. I'm going to just, like, anytime I go out to eat, I just have to know that I'm just going to go home right after, or if I am going out socially, just to, like, stay away from the food and, like,
that. So do you stay away from food at this point, or do you, can no. you eat anything?
Yeah, now I eat anything. Wow. Like, I'll do, like, you know, for my program, it's like I say, it's like a reset, and I'll do it, you know, just periodically, like a couple times a year. But now, yeah, I mean, I'll eat whatever I want, and it's so freeing, because I'm like, you just have to, like, address the root issue. But sometimes it's hard to actually get to the root issue, because mm-hmm. at first with my skin, I was like, well, it's hormonal, so it's like, okay, well, let's look at my hormones. Mm-hmm. Then I went down that path, and then then I had a doctor want me to go on birth control, and I was like, I'm like, I just want an answer that's not a pill.
Yeah.
He's someone giving me an answer that's not a pill. Yeah.
So yeah. What did you do? Because you've gone through everything.
Yeah.
So who helped you?
Yeah. I mean, Josh was really the one who, like, helped me figure it out.
Your man.
My man. Yeah. And so now it's a process that we take people through in the program. And so with that, we don't, you know, not everyone, I think, is right for it. And that's why we do, like, a call with people to see, you know, what is your whole history? Like, what are you wanting to get out of this? Like, all that stuff. But we've had incredible results with people who are just completely life changing for them. And it's awesome. It's, like, really awesome to see, because, like, coupling that also with the mindset portion of it, where, you know, really working on their like emotions and their relationships to food. That's been huge too. Like we were saying, like, get to the why. Like, I have them really journal out, like, why they're doing this, like, really get in touch with that part of it. Because I've done, you know, other programs where you do it for a little bit, and then you just kind of, if you're trying to do it just for weight loss, you white knuckle through it, and then you don't actually, you maybe get the results, but then you always, like, bounce back mm-hmm. into your bad habits and stuff like that. So a big part of the program is also making sure that people are understanding their beliefs and their habits are coming from a place of, like, where they're believing in it, and it's, like, in alignment with their beliefs, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
Totally. And one of my favorite things you said when you were kind of explaining through, again, the diet story, was just your history of your gut and all the things we expose our gut to throughout life.
Yeah.
And how important that is to the individual, and how that just tells us, like, what's going on in our gut is so individual to us. But again, it's something that's malleable. It's something that we can change. It's something that we don't have to feel like we're a victim to, but we can give ourselves the, I don't know, license to almost explore that a little bit more, and then take ownership over both the positive and negative things that happen coming from that.
Yeah. I mean, I think our bodies are very malleable, and I think that's always, like, the biggest thing is, like, sometimes people feel very stuck, and I don't think we're ever stuck. I think, like, there's always a way to either, like, change your environment or change your habits or change something so that you don't ever feel stuck, right? And even in a health situation like that, it's like, well, what can you do differently in your lifestyle to change it or to, like, get to the root of it? And sometimes, yeah, it's easier to just, like, put your hands up and be like, oh, it is what it is. You know, like, I definitely had moments like that, because I actually didn't even want to, like change anything. I remember I thought, like, oh, maybe I'll have to do, like, an overhaul. And I was like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work. And I'm just, like, focused on other things. And I knew it was something that I could probably dig deeper into. And I was like, maybe I'll just do it at another time. You know, so I do think maybe that there's, like, a time, there comes a time where someone, I think, then feels ready.
I feel like it's those, I call horizon moments myself. I don't know where I heard that first, but everyone kind of has their horizon moment where they look back. And for you, it was like you read that Eckhart Tolle book and you were just like, oh, I can do more. And you had that mindset moment where you're like, I can control more. And that's when we start to tumble in. And I think that's the most important thing. Once we make the choice to try and change something and realize we can change something, that act becomes easier in the future. And then once we realize that the change is going to be consistent and a lifelong process, then we realize, okay, once I made that change, that doesn't mean I'm done. It means I just get to keep exploring. So I think that's really valuable. All of your stories have illustrated that up until now, you've continued to explore, you've continued to optimize, you've continued to learn your body better. And again, it doesn't mean that anything like broke along the way, but we're constant dynamic changing beings.
Yeah. I think that's a good point you made. Like, I think it's about like learning to just like go through the process, right? Like you just know that, okay, maybe I'm not going to see results like tomorrow, the day after, but you stick with it and you say, okay, you know, 30 days, I'm going to make a little progress, 60 days, I'm going to make more progress. And it's like realizing that our bodies isn't Netflix. Like we can't just like have it instantly exactly what we want, you know? And it really, your body does take time to change. So it's like it can change, but just like our mind, right? If you want to rewire your brain, it takes time. If you want to change your body, it takes time. And like just knowing that it takes time, I think is big, because people want that instant gratification so badly. And we're all programmed to get it. Like we get instant gratification every single day with social media and stuff and Amazon Prime. And but just knowing like, okay, your body's something different. Like we take a little more time with that.
Yeah. And do you believe now that there's one way to do eating and one way that people should kind of approach their gut or anything?
Like how so?
And like, there's a lot, you know, in terms of what exacts that people should eat or what diet is best.
Is there one diet that everybody should use, or kind of what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the human body needs certain nutrients and there are certain diets that don't give you those nutrients. And
you don't want to say it. Again.
I mean, I think just from when I was vegan and vegetarian for like a year, and it's just like, it doesn't give you the nutrients that you need.
Yeah.
You can take all the supplements you want, but if someone like me is taking supplements, is it making it through my body? I have, you know, I had leaky gut. I had very, like, I wasn't, sometimes I would have, you know, diarrhea and things like that. And it's like, was I absorbing these nutrients or these supplements? They don't know. I've read a lot of studies. They don't, you know, the absorption of it, the bioavailability of it is sometimes yes, sometimes no. That's my biggest take, is that diet I don't think works. It didn't work for me. And I know a lot of people it didn't work for.
Yeah.
I feel like people in general just get caught up a lot in the specifics of certain diets rather than, like you said, and like you've been talking about, just like healing the underlying and root cause and actually
asking more questions too.
You're making sure we're absorbing what we're taking in. Because if we're taking in the perfect things, if we're not absorbing it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So exactly.
I like, you know, kind of how your answer was predicated on, well, I mean, I need to make sure my gut's healthy first before anything.
Right. Yeah. That's true. And so if something's not working for you, then it's not working for you. Like, I think our bodies are they tell us, it's like, this isn't working, or like, if it's not working, then move away from it. Cause I made a YouTube video on like, you know, why I moved away from being vegan. And of course I got like a lot of comments and things like that and interesting perspectives, but like I would have people privately message me being like, you know, thank you so much for making this video. It really rung true for me too. Like, I've been considering moving away from this because my gut feels the same as yours. And like, I've been feeling sick and more sick, but I don't want to move away from it or like tell my friends or be embarrassed to like make a change like that, you know. And it was interesting because people would privately do it. And then I would say, you know, if it's not working for you, then don't do it. If it's working for you, then do it. That's always, it's like, if it's not working, listen to that, you know, listen to that and say, okay, you know, I get to make a change. And if it's working for you, then great. Then it's working for you. Exactly. You know, like I'm never like, No, we're going to tell you like what is right for you. So
I love that. And if something isn't working for them, where can people find you so that they can get help?
Yeah. Action Jacqueline across the board, Instagram, YouTube, and then my program Heal My Gut is healmygut.com. And then, yeah, I have my Stretchy Fit app, which is like where all the workouts and yoga, bar, Pilates, meditations, all that good stuff is there.
Yay. Awesome. And Jacqueline's been so amazing to grace the Optimal Body too, which has been such a gift to have her.
We need to redo those.
I know. They're really old now at this point. That's actually in the works. So
okay.
Glad you said that.
I know, because I need to have you in my Stretchy Fit app.
I know. Mm-hmm. It's so cute because on my phone, I have both apps next to each other. AJ and
oh, that's cute.
And the Doc Jen.
Aw, I should do that.
I love it. I'm like, oh, my friends. But thank you so much for being like, you just dropped a wealth of knowledge. I feel like we went over so much.
I know, it was a lot.
but I know it's going to be so helpful. Like just being able to hear someone's journey who's been through a lot, you know, and understanding where that came from and what you've done to really overcome so much is really incredible. And I know it'll be so beneficial. So
yay,
thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, you guys are awesome.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.